Well, last Sunday night, I think I had too many coffees to drink. You know, do you enjoy coffee? There's nothing better than a nice cup of coffee. I know some people, I had a friend who had no clue what good coffees tasted like. So he would drink anything and everything. Even leftover coffees from a week before, he would just warm it up and drink it. And I used to say, Jim, how do you do that? He says, coffee is coffee. And coffee is not coffee. Coffee, there are certain coffees taste better. And sometimes I overdo it. I think, you know, my body can handle it, but also all that caffeine will keep you awake at night. So it was one of those nights on last Sunday night. You know, I just could not sleep. I could not just settle. My shoulder was bothering me. My head was going crazy over ministry. You know, pastors go through some rough patches. You know, it's a very lonely... When I took a vow to go to ministry, and somebody said it's a very lonely journey, you know, because at the end of the day, you're stuck between people and God, and then at the same time, you're seeing what needs to be done, and then you're seeing people are not responding the way they should, and you struggle with this. You really do, and it keeps me awake at night. The economy does not keep me awake at night. My children's future does not keep me awake at night. What really keeps me awake at night is when people are not responding to God as they should. And that's, you know, my best prayer time is at 3:30, 4 o'clock, because I'm half asleep anyway. So I start praying for people that I've never thought they needed prayer. And until today, I don't know why that happens, but I pray for people very early in the morning. Now, as I was struggling with all these questions, you know, sometimes people think pastors have got it all together, right? Oh, they've got no problems. Believe me, you can't handle my problems. If I give it to you, you will just fall apart. But I think my biggest problem is when I carry the burden of God and not see people carrying the same burden that I want them to carry. They don't take God seriously, you know? Does that make sense? You do everything and then you... And I said, God! And he says, Noah! I thought my wife was whispering to my ear. Usually my wife at that time, she's waking me up. Stop snoring! I never snore in my life. It's just as a theory she has. Till today we argue about it. And it was not that voice. Because usually it shakes you. The whole, you know, now I know where my right shoulder puffs. It really shakes you. But it wasn't that voice. Noah. So what does Noah have to do with this? And I've preached on Noah for so many years. I have read the story of Noah so many times. And Noah, what does Noah mean? Noah in Hebrew means to rest, you know? And God, I don't want to rest. I can't sleep. Let me struggle with this. Noah. That name came upon me over and over and over until the next morning I had to wake up. Before even my coffee, I had to go and read the story of Noah. And it hit me. See, it's always good, it is always important, it is always vital when we have struggles within our lives, before we go to anybody, go to God first. And what we tend to do is we try to justify the magnitude of our problems through human understanding that we don't get God's perspective. It happens to me every time. And sometimes I fail, and sometimes I get it. And this one, I think I got it. Because I just listened. And so I went and read the story of Noah. And I said, boy, it's all there. Why Noah? Well, Noah was just a man like you and me who lived in an age where the world was going crazy. And God was fed up with the world to a point where he wanted to destroy the entire world. Now, you might say, how can a loving God? Well, that's not your problem. You know, let's not just go into theology and try to justify things. Why God allows? It's not your problem. You're not God. Let God do what he wants to do. You're just a creature. Listen to him. You're not even have the right to question God if you really understand God's precepts. See, what sometimes we do, we play the devil's advocate. We become the devil himself. The devil does not need an advocate. He is very good at it by convincing the Christian how wrong they God is, you see? And he has a distinct voice at the end of his conversation. It goes like, don't believe everything God tells you. that same devil who tempted Adam and Eve. So we go through the story of Noah and say, well, that was harsh of God to do. But you have to understand the things that were happening. They were, the humanity was utterly turning against God. Utterly. 180 degrees. I used to say 360 degrees, but that was bad math. 180 degrees. You know, they were walking away from God. There was sexual immorality was rampant. I mean, almost like if you read five and six, especially six, you could see how corrupt the human race was. They were having sexual immoralities with demons, basically. You know, the fallen angels, the Bible says that they were coming. And now, angels, you have to understand, angels are sexless. They are not male or female, you see. A lot of people say, you know, and here it says fallen angels were having relationships with the women in the land. Now, what that means is that people were getting possessed. You know, there's demon possession in this world. No one wants to address it. Fox News is utterly, they zip it, CNN zips it. But you know what? How can you justify, you know, they take a suicide bomber who goes and kills so many innocent people in the world? I say, well, that's demon possession. They go like, well, it's a religion. I say, it's demon possession. You know, let's deal with it. There was a time where the church preached about angels and demons and all that. We've stopped talking about it because it's not popular. You see, we see a psychic person or a medium to deal with these things. The Bible is very clear about these things. Now we see the corruption in the land. People were doing things that was utterly gone. They did not need God anymore. And then in the midst of all this, we read that God appears to Noah because he was the only one who was righteous. And he says, build me a barge. Now, let's put this in context. Before I read scripture that's before us. Now, you have to be out of your mind. If you lived in an area where you've never seen rain, because this story happened 4,500 years ago. During those days, we know clearly that there was no rain. However, the land was, you know, there were springs of water came from the land, and it just, you know, there was the, it took care of all the dryness, I guess, of the earth. And so when God talks to Noah and he says, build me a barge, and he's not even next to a sea, he is 100 miles inland, and he's living amongst people who've never seen rain. He says, build me a barge, and these are the specific measurements. Actually, this is an exact replica built by a Dutchman. And it needs to be 450 feet long and 45 feet high and 75 feet wide. And it has to have, three levels. And somebody estimated if the average animal was the size of a sheep, it would have held close to 225,000 animals. So when people talk about how can a barge hold so many animals, I say, well, you know what? You are not there. Zip it. You see? And did you know that no size, such magnitude of a ship or a barge or whatever you call it, has ever been built till the 19th century? For over 1800, since 4,500 years ago until the 19th century, no one built the size of a ship like this. This was built by an amateur, and it survived hurricane. Titanic was built by professionals, and it sank because of an iceberg. So do not underestimate. And what amazes me is God uses foolish stuff in order to have the last laugh, I think. And scripture says the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. What we try to do in between is we try to dissect God's plans in order for us to question him. We should never question God because if we do not walk with him. Now, what amazes me about Noah, he walked with God. You know, it makes all the difference. And this is where my passion is, that I want to see men and women and children walk with God, because it will make a huge difference in your understanding of why we are here and what we are trying to do. So let me read to you the story. When everything from the story of Noah, that comes from Genesis chapter 6. So not a lot of history has happened. You know, Adam and Eve are born. They've got two sons, Cain and Abel. The first world war happens because one brother kills the other over worship. right? Still that happens, right? In many parts of the world, my way is the better way of worship than yours. And then you've got the generations come until the days of Noah. Now, this is the account of Noah and his family in chapter 6, verse 9 and onwards. It says, Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. I mean, boy, the only person righteous in this whole world of that, you know, it's amazing. But God saw Noah as righteous, and he was blameless living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. I love that verse. He walked so closely with God that when he woke up, God was in his mind. When he was walking, God was on his mind. When he was angry, God was on his mind. When he was achy, God was on his mind. When God is part of our lives on a daily basis, God will speak to us. There's no way that God will not speak. If you walk with him and talk to him, you know, let everything that I have, Scripture says, praise the Lord. If it is, you've become in such a place where everything you're doing, it involves God. God is going to speak to you, and he's going to tell you the most bizarre things to do. And just do it. Now, check with your pastor first. The reason I say this, people come up with crazy ideas. I say, that's not from God. But God told me. I say, how did he tell you? Well, I heard a voice. I said, maybe it wasn't his voice. Let's check it through his scriptures. You know, Noah did not have scripture. He had a direct contact with God. We have scripture. So anything we hear, we have to test it with scriptures. So when God gave me the name Noah, it wasn't something that I've not heard of. I have to go to the scripture and get my answer. Makes a big difference. So this one, Noah walked closely with God. Noah was the father of three sons. He had three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God, so that the earth became corrupt and was filled with violence, God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar, inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 long, 70 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below and roof, at the roof and all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die, but I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, male and female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you. He doesn't even have to call the animals. They will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for you and your family and for all the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, go into the boat with all your family. For among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous. Take with you seven pairs, male and female, of each animal I have approved for eating and for sacrifice. And take one pair of each of the others. Also take seven pairs of every kind of bird. There must be male and female in each pair to ensure that all life will survive on the earth after the flood. 7 days from now, 7 days of grace, I think, I will make the rains pour down on the earth, and it will rain for 40 days and 40 nights until I have wiped from the earth all the living things I have created. So Noah did everything as the Lord commanded him. What fascinates me in this story, that this is the word of God. It's not a mythical story. People come to me and say, you know, you still believe in the story of Noah? I say, yeah! Well, they say, you know, we live in 2019. I say, yeah, I still believe. Because the word of God does not change. Human nature does not change. So I also challenge people. I said, if I have any doubts about the story of Noah, then I should have doubts about the resurrection of Jesus. Because the story of Noah has to do everything about the story of Jesus. And Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years after Noah, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be when the Son of Man returns. Even Jesus quoted Noah. So the way it was in the days of Noah, when the last trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back to earth, it's going to be the same as it happened during the time of Noah. Let's see what happened in the times of Noah. God tells Noah to build a barge. Now, it was not meant to be seaworthy. because barges are, you know, made for rivers and stuff. So he did not question God. So when God asks things, you know, he asks us to do things for him, usually we respond with a lot of questions. Well, why? Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? You are not God and you don't see the future. Second thing, what amazes me about Noah, that he believed more about what's going to happen in the future than he did about the present that he could see. Not many of us are willing to put our faith in the future. But my friends, Jesus says, because Jesus lives, we shall live too. That changes my life today. I'm living eternity today. I'm not going to wait till I'm separated from the body. My eternity started the moment that Jesus died for me and I put my faith in him. And it is by grace that I've been saved, not through my good works, because they stink. I get tired from good works. I do it because, you know, it has to be done. But I do it not because I'm attaining something in return. And this is where the reformers came. You know, in the 15th century, when the Catholic Church was going crazy about, you know, let's make money through people's, you know, let's just tell them that they need God and let's sell them indulgences. Remember that story? And they were building St. Peter's Church. But it's not like that anymore. You see, not like that anymore. But, you know, Luther, who was a Catholic himself, he says, I'm struggling with this because I know it's not in the Bible. The just shall live by faith, and it is by faith that we are saved. Noah made it to Hebrews chapter 11, and the author of Hebrews, he says, by faith Noah did what he did. By faith Abraham did what he did. By faith that prostitute did what she did, and she was saved. So there's no goodness in us that will save us from the wretchedness that we are in. God's grace and love and mercy saves us from where we are. All the past is gone, which is very difficult for people to let go. But you don't understand my past. God does. He let it go. Why are you not letting it go? Well, you don't understand. I do. You're the one who are trying to make an issue. I need to see my therapist for this. Good for you. Spend another $1,000 and come back to me, because you're going to go back to square one. I love therapists. There's nothing wrong with them. I think they help people, but I believe Jesus is capable of going right into our souls and sorting it out. Amen. If we just put our trust in him. So, two ways, right? Noah put his faith. Now, I struggle with this. Because people for sure thought Noah lost his marbles. Building a barge in the middle of the desert that has never seen rain. He's going to spend 120 years to build this. He's going to put his work aside. He's going to sacrifice in order to give time to God. And everybody with CNN and Fox News and all the other news channels were there. This would have been the story of the day. Let's see Noah with his ark. Let's see where he's at. Oh, he built the deck. Hi, Noah. Where's the rain? And everybody would have, you know, made fun of him. But Noah's focus was, I'd rather please God than this whole world. So he did what he did. He moved on and he built the ark. Now, how he built it? He built it on his own time, 120 years. Why would it take 120 years? Have you ever built a small boat in your garage? It takes time. And the guy was doing it all by himself. And every time, I don't know if he used nails, but did you know that the word that is used for ark in the Old Testament is the same word that is used for Noah's basket? Those are the two times this word in Hebrew that's used. One is describing Noah's ark, and one is describing Noah's basket. And what do these two baskets or arks do? They save God's people from all the destructions that are around them. And it's interesting that the baby Moses' basket was covered with tar. Here, God says, also cover the cracks with tar. And it's interesting, the word tar in Hebrew is the same word for atonement. Are these by chance? I don't know. Go and do your own study and come tell me. Noah survived the critics of his day, all the discouragement that went around on his day. He stood up by himself to be faithful to the God that he served. No wonder God chose him. And God chose him because Noah was walking with him all the time. And the ark is built, and 120 years are over. And God says to Noah, now take your wife, your son-in-laws, and your daughters, and just go to the ark. Noah obeys. Now, what would happen to all the animals? It's interesting, scripture says that they will come by themselves. Now, people ask me, how can an animal, without being guided, and they miss the point. The God who created the heavens and the earth, and his word, God said, let there be, and there was. Don't you think he can guide the animals wherever he wants them to go? What about dinosaurs? I'm going like, you really are not getting the point of the story. There was enough room for dinosaurs. Maybe God shrank them during that time. What about sharks? They survive in water. And then they miss the point of what the story is trying to tell us. And that's human nature. What if? What if? Well, it doesn't make any sense. You don't make any sense in life anyway. Study your own life. You will see 3/4 of it does not make sense. Meanwhile, we say, we're great. Do you see, the problem is, we live in an age where self has become so important, like in those days, that they've forgotten the miracles of God. God is capable of, you know, you take the story of Mary at Christmas, a 14-year-old, minding her own business. And you shall be called Theotokos, the mother of God. What about her parents? What about her fiancé? What about all this? Well, God overrules all this. The God who calls is the God who provides. And he's the one who sorts everything else out. People tell me, what are your five-year plan for the church? No idea. What are my five? I want to see more souls get saved and praise God. That is the purpose of the church. That's why I'm here. Look, I've been a missionary for many years. I've seen a lot of people come to faith. Crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy things. But you know what? I always get discouraged. I say, more should have come to faith. After everything I've done, Lord, after all the sacrifices I've made, and I say, you really have not made any sacrifices compared to what your Lord has done. So zip it. What is amazing in this story? And I think that's why God gave me the name Noah. This man lived 120 years from the moment God gave him the command. 120 years after God asks him to go into the ark. And God, for some reason, gives 7 more days before he shuts the door. And you know what? Not a single soul is saved. That makes me feel good. 120 years of preaching and building an ark and manifesting God's, you know, goodness and say, hey, man, come to the ark. No one would listen. You know, I've been very privileged that through the ministry that God has given me, I've seen a number of people come to faith in a very powerful way. It wasn't my work, it was God's work. But Noah had none except his family. You know, it needs to start with the family. Did you know that before God established the church, God established the very first institution, the family? And it is from the family that God is accomplishing his purposes. Do not ever stop becoming a role model, not a perfect role model, we can't be. Only Christ is our perfect role model. With all the things that we go through in our lives, you know, let's have enough humility to admit that we're not perfect. Because people are watching. A whole generation is watching. But he did it. Yeah, but I'm not proud of it. Or she did it. I'm not proud of it. And some people say, well, everybody is doing it. I say, well, if everybody is jumping from the 9th floor, I'm not going to jump. Do you see the justification mechanism within our culture? We need to go back and just find rest in the presence of God. Wherever we are in our lives, there's nothing that is bad enough that God cannot turn it for his glory. The worse it is, the more powerful the story becomes. And many are just giving up on their spiritual journey because they're believing in this lie. Well, that one that he just did, that was it. No turning back. Really? I thought God was much bigger than that. Do not ever believe in the lies of the devil. He was always going to come up with perfect stories. Perfect stories, perfect narratives. And he's going to use your own story against you. The moment that happens, refocus your eyes upon God and say, Lord, I'm not perfect. Help me to be like your son. Not like the neighbor. Not like that family. You know, I always say, if you want to see perfect families, and I'm not referring to this church in any way, shape, or any other churches, sometimes there's a lot of families, they come together and they're in a perfect state, right? And the mess. And I used to think years ago, boy, they've got it all together. They really got it all together. Why am I so miserable? Because you're comparing yourself with imperfection that is all around you. And the moment I change my focus and start looking at my own life through the eyes of Christ, things have changed. My affirmation in life does not come from you. I mean, I love to hear encouragements, don't get me wrong. You know, I don't wait anymore for somebody to say, you're doing a great job. I want the voice of God to keep telling me, you're okay. You're okay. It will do. But the moment I turn around and say, I've got it all together, that's when I fail. Humble thyselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And in an age where American idol, you know this American idol? In an age of all idols, you know, you have to become an idol, you have to act in a certain way, you have to say things in a certain way, you have to fit in certain ways in order to be accepted. It's all garbage. It's all fake. It is here today, and tomorrow there will be something new. Your authenticity, it all depends on your walk with God. So if you want to leave this building today and you want to apply one thing, and if you want to pray one thing, Lord, say, I want to walk with you every day. Yes. Not just during church hours, not just, I want to walk with you. I want to be like Noah. And people might make fun of me. And a lot of the times it gets us. You know, we are made, you know, God created us to be communitarian in nature. We want the community to accept us. And the moment community rejects us, we are shunned. But that's what happened to the child of God. It goes against all community, because by doing that, you are belonging to a whole new community. The community of Christ. Where there's no more Jew or Greek. Race problems. We're all one in Christ. You know, people try to fix race issues. I say, all right, if it's the issues between black and whites, what happened to a certain African country hit Hutus against Tutsis? What happened? They're from their same race. The hatred that is within. And we try to come up with theories. What people need is Jesus. And this new community. The new image in Christ. Where there's no race. There's nothing left except Christ. And we're all equally the children of God. Male and female. And we're there to worship. Noah got that. And he got a big, crazy job to build a barge. I don't know what God is going to give you, seriously. He might ask you to do something crazy. Don't ever say no. He asked me to plant a church. I said, I've never done this before. He says, you'll do all right. I said, I don't have the mechanism. I've never done this before. I'm a good administrator. Just do it. You know, it was scary stuff. Really scary stuff. You know, I said, I don't even sing. Usually you get away with singing. You know, you can just turn it around. You can sing a nice song and just add a few verses to old hymns and then you become famous, right? Nowadays. I didn't have all this. Except I said, Lord, if you want me to do it, if I fail, make sure people don't mock me that much. You know, you want to hide. But the more I do it, the more it becomes, with God, all things are possible. If they are for His glory. Not for your glory. And I always say that in the history of this church, as it grows, as it brings more people to faith, that we will never become about buildings. That we will never become about importance. That we will always stay authentic and weak so that He is magnified in our midst. Somebody says, we need to get a new microphone. I said, it still works. So let me tell you this. Who is our ark today? It is Jesus Christ. I want you to look at this. Jesus is the door to salvation. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be. Judgment is coming. We don't like to talk about it. There's an expiry date. I don't know where it is. A lot of people came up with dates and failed. No one knows. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Because he is the ark of God. That's where we find mercy and grace. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he or she will be saved. It's as simple as that. You have Jesus or you don't. And if you have Jesus, don't beat yourself too hard. He took all your beatings on the cross. Keep it there. Don't say, all right, I'm going to take some because I've got nothing to do this week. We are our biggest enemies at times. And the mind plays tricks. Give up control and let God control your life. Easier said than done, but if you walk with God, Lord, let it be. And there's a hymn, isn't there? There, let it be. Or can it be? Sorry. Yeah, we'll sing that one day. I think that's enough for today, isn't it? I think Noah has taught us great lessons. And I pray that we'll take all these lessons for his glory and for his honor. We're going to sing our last song.